Today I'm going to talk about a few questions of King of Deva Sakka and how Buddha replied to him. And before that, I would like to share a one verse from the Dhammapada. The Buddha taught this talk to Prince Bodhi. The verse goes like this: Atananze piyang zanya rakheya nang surakhitang tinang anyatarang yamang patijageya pandito. So its meaning is, if one knows that one is dear to oneself, one should protect oneself well. During any three watches of his life, the wise man should be guarded. If one loves oneself, if an intelligent human beings hold themselves dear, they should protect themselves, they should guard themselves. And when should they protect themselves? If possible, they must protect themselves for whole life. If they are unable to protect themselves for the whole life, then they should try to protect themselves at any of three stages of their life. How should they protect themselves? Having the heavy security at your house, or having bodyguards? Does it mean like that? The commentary explained that what Buddha means by to protect oneself is by doing the meritorious deeds as much as one can. One should always do the wholesome deeds, the meritorious deeds, for the whole life if they can. If they cannot do, or if they cannot cultivate these wholesome deeds, the meritorious deeds, for whole life, what should they do? Buddha said that we have to divide our life in three parts. If one is negligent in doing meritorious deeds at their first stage of life, because one is pursuing one's dream, studying or enjoying the young age, then one should cultivate these meritorious deeds at the second stage of life. But at the second stage of life also, one cannot cultivate the meritorious deeds. One is negligent because one is busy in taking care of family. Then one should cultivate at the last stage of life. If one is able to cultivate meritorious deeds at the last stage of life, still it can be said that one is protecting oneself. But even at the last days of one's life, if one fails to cultivate any kind of meritorious deeds, dana, sila, bhavana, it means one does not love oneself, one is not protecting oneself, one will end one's life in the lower states. That's what the commentary explained. And this talk Buddha taught to Prince Bodhi. Prince Bodhi built a magnificent palace for himself, and when the palace was finished, he invited Buddha for alms food. He decorated his palace and spread a long white cloth from the entrance to the inside chamber, wondering if he were to have any children, the Buddha would step on the cloth. When Buddha came, Prince Bodhi respectfully requested him to enter the chamber. But Buddha, instead of moving, looked at Bhikkhu Ananda, his attendant. Then Bhikkhu Ananda asked Prince Bodhi to remove the cloth. When the cloth is removed, then Buddha entered the chamber and had meal. After the meal, Prince Bodhi asked Buddha why he did not step on the cloth. Buddha in turn asked the prince whether he had not spread the cloth, wondering if he were to be blessed with the children, the Buddha would step on it. And the prince said, yes. Then Buddha said, he and his wife were not going to have any children because of their past evil deeds. In one of their past existence, the prince and his wife were the sole survivors of a shipwreck. They were stranded in one island, which is the home for birds. Seeing nothing to eat, they lived there by eating the birds' eggs, fledglings, and birds, without having any remorse at any time. For that evil deed, they would not be blessed with any children. If they had felt a slight remorse for their deed at any stage of their lives, they could have a children in this present existence. But both of them were negligent. Not even one person felt remorse. So Buddha told Prince Bodhi that one who loves oneself should guard oneself in all stages of life, or at least during one stage in his life. By doing or by cultivating the meritorious deeds like dana, sila, and bhavana. Because meritorious deeds are the support or the home for beings. So we all also have to try our best to cultivate these meritorious deeds as much as we can so that we will have a safe home. So now let's start the questions of King of Deva Sakka. It is the discourse from Sakkapanya Sutta. One time Buddha was residing at the Indasala cave in Wediyeka mountain, and the king of Deva together with other Devas from Tavatingsa heaven come to visit Buddha. And after paying respect to the Buddha, the king of Deva, Asaka, asks. And his first question is, in the world, all beings, Devas, humans, Asuras, Nagas, Gandhavas, and other beings, although they all wish to live without hate, without being harmed, without enmity, without mental sufferings, but they yet live in hate, being harmed, with enmity and with mental sufferings. So by what fetters are beings bound so they are living in danger and suffering? That is the first question of King of Deva. And Buddha replied, it is because of the two fetters, Issa and Maccariya, envy and avarice, stinginess. These two fetters bind beings. So although they wish to live without hate, without being harmed, enmity and mental sufferings, but they still live with hate, being harmed, having enmity and having various mental sufferings because of these two fetters of jealousy and stinginess, Issa Maccariya. So fetters, in Pali it is Sanyojana. They are called fetters because they bind us to this round of rebirth in samsara. They will not let us go. And these fetters are compared to a rope. It binds us all the time. And there are 10 types of sanyojanas, fetters, mentioned both in Sutta Pitaka and in Abhidhamma Pitaka. Only a slight difference. But in this discourse, Buddha referred the fetters, Issa and Maccariya, and it is according to the Abhidhamma method. So according to the Abhidhamma, the 10 fetters, sanyojanas, are attachment to sense objects, attachment to existence, and dosa hatred, mana conceit, ditthi wrong view, and sila bata paramasa, wrong view that purification may be attained by undertaking the habits and conducts of cattle, dogs, etc. And vijikicca, doubt, issa, envy, maccariya, avarice, stinginess, and avijja, ignorance. And beings are bound by the ropes of envy and avarice. That is why, although they wish to be free from all dangers and wish to live peacefully, they are not able to live in peace. So here, what is issa? Envy, jealousy. Envy is aversion to the prosperity and welfare of others. In Vibhanga Pali, the second book of Abhidhamma Pitaka, it explained that what is envy? That which for the gain, honor, being respected, regard, salutation, respectful offerings to other is envy, being envious, state of being envious, jealousy, being jealousy, state of being jealousy, that is envy, issa. Envy or jealousy has the characteristic of being jealous of others' success in terms of wealth, appearance, beauty, education, their rank, etc. And envy makes person malicious and destructive, always having evil desire to ruin others' prosperity and happiness. Envious person always suffered in this life as well as in future life. So it is said that it is the envy that causes much suffering in the world. And this envy, jealousy, is a cause, one of the cause of dispute, quarrel, vivada mula. And the function of envy is to be dissatisfied with others' success. It means one does not like other people's success. One is not happy with others' prosperity. And its manifestation is closing one's eyes to another person's welfare. One who is dominated by envy does not want to see another person prosperous, successful, good-looking, educated, promoted to high position. And the nearest cause of envy is others' success and prosperity. So the envious person can never be happy with others' success. And envy is an evil which does not benefit in any way the person who harbors it. And this envy is the fertility of the soil of bad karma. A powerful man will seek to ruin the person whom he envies, and by so doing, he turns the other person into his enemy. And if that enemy is a powerful man, he will take revenge. Even if there is no such danger in this life, this envious person will surely suffer in future life. In the Tsullakamma Vibhanga Sutta, Buddha said that one who is envious of others' prosperity and happiness becomes a man of low birth with few attendants and little reputation. An envious person can harm others in many ways and so suffers in lower realms for many, many years. After release from the lower realms, he may reborn in human world as a result of some wholesome deeds done before. But he may have very few followers and he may have a very little reputation. An envious person will not have a mudita, sympathetic joy. This jealousy and sympathetic joy, issa and mudita, are diametrically opposite mental states. Mudita has the characteristic of gladness at the success of others. One is very happy when one sees other people happy, when other people prosperous, when other people are successful. One will have a joy, that is mudita. And its function is being unenvious at others' success. And it is manifested as the elimination of dosa aversion. One who rejoices at the good fortune of another person has goodwill. He always wishes for others' prosperity. So every day morning in chanting, when we do metta chanting, at the end of the chanting, we chant Yatha Lata Sampatti To Mahavi Gacchantu. That is the mudita. It means may he never be away from the prosperity he achieved already. That we are developing mudita. So a person who has a sympathetic joy helps to promote others' welfare as much as possible. By cultivating this good karma, he reborn in deva world after death. He enjoys happy life. And after that, when he reborns in human world, he will have many followers and he will have a good reputation. He will be a very powerful person. That is why, again, in Tsullakamma Vibhanga Sutta, they are explained about the benefits of mudita, sympathetic joy. One who has a sympathetic joy becomes a powerful person with many followers and a good reputation. So Venerable Mahasin Seado in Burma makes a motto so that people can remember it easily. Jealousy leads to few friends, while rejoicing brings followers. When jealous person sees other people's achievements, he is not happy with that. He never wishes for others' success, achievements, and always wonders when that person will be ruined. And if that person lost all his property for some reason, then this envious person becomes very happy and satisfied. So that is the issa, the fetter that bind people. So people are facing the suffering, although they want to live in peace. And another fetter that binds people is materia, avarice or stinginess. Because of that, although all beings wish to be free from anger, ill will, they do not want to quarrel or to be ill-treated. They pray for happiness, security, and peace, yet they are not free from danger and suffering. So what is that materia, the stinginess? Materia, avarice, is keeping one's possession secret. One does not want to share one's belongings with others. One is afraid that other people will know about his success. Other people will see one's property, etc. So that is the materia, stinginess, or avarice. So I want to tell a short story of Mata Kundali regarding this materia. So Mata Kundali is a very young Brahmin. He is the only child of his parents. His father is Adinapubhaka. The meaning of Adinapubhaka is never give anything to others. So that's his name. And he was very stingy. Mata Kundali is the only child. Their only child. But for Mata Kundali, he made the gold ornaments himself for his son to save the money. And one day, the Mata Kundali fell ill. But his father did not take him to the physician. He went to the physician and asked him what type of medicine should be given for such kind of symptoms. He did not bring his son to the physician. But the Mata Kundali, he did not recover from the illness because it was too late. And when his father realized that his son is going to die, what he did that, because this Adinapubhaka is very rich man, so he is afraid if he kept his son inside the house and when people come to visit his son, they would see his properties, his possession. So because of that fear, he brought his son outside the house. He kept his son outside on the veranda so that whoever come to see no need to go inside his house. So that type of that is the materia, is the avarice and the stinginess. So avarice has the characteristic of concealing one's own success when it had been or can be obtained. In Vibhanga, the second book of Abhidhamma, it explained that matsarya, avarice, stinginess concerning dwelling, family, gain, reputation, doctrine, that which is similar meanness, being mean, state of being mean, avarice, ignobleness, niggardliness, cramped state of mind. And this is called matsarya. So it has a characteristic of concealing one's own success. And its function is not to bear sharing these with others. It is not able to bear sharing one's belongings with other people. One becomes angry when another person uses the things one possesses. And it is manifested as a shrinking away from sharing, or the sour feeling. It is manifested as a sour feeling. And the nearest cause of stinginess, matsarya, is one's own success. Matsarya takes one's own property as object. So one does not want one's property to be shared by others. One wants to use it only for oneself. And there are five kinds of matsarya mentioned in the Pali. The first one is avasa matsarya, stinginess related to dwelling. The second one is stinginess related to families, friends, and intimates. The third one is stinginess related to gain. The fourth one is stinginess related to reputation and appearance. And the fifth one is stinginess related to knowledge or doctrine. And the first one, the stinginess related to dwelling, avasa matsarya, has more to do with the monks. If monks does not want other good monks come to their communal monastery, then this is avasa matsarya. But regarding the lay people, if one doesn't want to share the communal places with other people, like the parks or the meditation places, if people thinks and behaves communal places as one's own private property, this is called avasa matsarya. And the second one is kula matsarya, stinginess related to family, friends, and intimates. If monks do not want his lay followers support other monks, not happy with the contact between his followers and other monks, then this is a kula matsarya. As for the lay people, when their lay followers want to go and listen some talks given by other good monks, he would discourage them. That is the kula matsarya. But stopping one's followers from going on the wrong path, this is not a matsarya. And as for the lay people, if one does not want one's friends and followers have good relation with others, especially with one's enemies, then that is the kula materia. And the third one is lava materia, stinginess related to gain. One does not want others have gain. Vanna materia, the fourth one, is one does not want others have a good reputation, does not want others to have a name and fame, and also the good appearance. One only thinks about oneself. One only wants a reputation and a good appearance for oneself. That is the vanna materia. And the fifth one is dhamma materia. Stinginess related to doctrine or knowledge. One does not want to share knowledge with others. Here, dhamma especially means the pariyatti dhamma, the scriptural knowledge, and also the pativeda dhamma, the achievements of the practice. If one does not want to share the dhamma knowledges with others, and if one does not want other people achieved in their practice, then that is the dhamma materia. So these are the five types of materia, avarice or stinginess. And when a person is very overwhelmed by this materia, then that person do not care even of his family, his children. There's one story in Dhammapada. The name of story is Matsariya Kosiya Satiwattu, the story of Kosiya, the stingy rich man. Actually, his name is Kosiya, but because he's too stingy and he's a rich man, so Kosiya, the stingy rich man. He lives in the town named Sakkara near Rajagaha in India. He's a very rich man, billionaire, but very, very stingy. He is very reluctant to give away even the tiniest part of his belongings. That is why he is known as a Matsariya Kosiya Seti, stingy rich man Kosiya. And because he is a rich man, he has to attain a king every day. And one day, on the way back from palace, he saw other people eating a fried, the traditional fried cake. And he craves for it. After reaching home, he lies down in the bed and thinks, if I ask to make this cake for me, all other people also would like to have it. So it will cost a lot. I won't tell anybody to make a cake for me. So he swallowed his craving. But the craving, it arises again and again. And because of that strong craving, he becomes thinner and thinner day by day. So one day his wife asks him, are you not feeling well? What happened to you? Did somebody say anything to you? Or do you crave for something? When his wife asks these questions, then he told her about the craving for that fried cake. That fried cake is made of sesame, the rice flour, and some sweet. So his wife told him, "That is not a big deal. I will quickly make fried cake for everybody in the town." So then he told her, "That is why I did not tell you about the cake. I know you want to spend money." Then his wife told him, "Okay then, I will make cake for our children and for us." But he still did not agree with it. And at last, his wife told her that, "I will make only for you." So the rich man said, "Okay." So to avoid sharing this cake with others, the two of them went to the uppermost story of their house. It is said that their house is of the seventh story. So they went to the seventh story where no one would see them, and they start to make the fried cake. On that day, early in the morning, the Buddha, through his supernormal power, saw this rich man and his wife in his vision, and Buddha came to know that both of them would soon attain the first path and fusion knowledge. So the Buddha sent the elder Moggallana to the house of rich man and also told him to bring them to the monastery in Jetavana Vihara at the lunch time with the cakes. So Elder Moggallana, by his supernormal power, reached at Kosiya's house and stood at the window. The rich man asked Elder Moggallana to leave many times, but Elder Moggallana did not leave, just stood there quietly. Then a rich man asked his wife to make a smallest cake and give it to a bhikkhu. So his wife took a very little amount of dough and put it into the pan, but the cake filled up the whole pan. So the rich man scolds his wife, "Why do you put a big amount of dough?" Every time when his wife put a little amount, the cake becomes very big. So he's not satisfied with his wife, and he himself took just a pinch of dough and put it into the pan. His cake also swelled into a big one. So they are unable to make a small cake. So at last, the Kosiya rich man asks his wife to offer a one from the basket. And when she tried to take out the one cake from the basket, it would not come off because all cakes in the basket were sticking together. So to separate it, both husband and wife is pulling the cakes in the either sides, but could not separate it. They become very tired, the whole body sweating a lot. So the rich man, he lost his desire for the cake. So he lost his desire and he offered the whole basket with the cakes to the elder Moggallana. And the Elder Moggallana, by his supernormal power, took a bottle of dim to the Buddha with a basket of cakes, and Buddha delivered a discourse on charity. And at the end of the discourse, both of them attained the first Pratan Christian knowledge. So that is the material that you even don't want to share a little bit, even with your children, even with your wife. You just want for yourself. So that is the material. So it is said that these two mental states, this Issa and Matsuriya, envy and avarice, are the two destructive forces of the world. The world is destroyed by this Issa and Matsuriya, jealousy and stinginess. And Buddha said that if one is overwhelmed by this envy and jealousy, one is falling off from the Buddha's teaching. So therefore, Buddha replied to the king of Deva that because of the fetters of this jealousy and stinginess, all beings in the world are not free from dangers and sufferings. They are not in peace. So that is the first question and answer between the king of Deva and Buddha. And being satisfied by the Buddha's answer, the Sakka asks the second question. What gives rise to jealousy and avarice? What is their origin? How are they born? How do they arise? Owing to the practice, presence of what do they arise? Owing to the absence of what do they not arise? Means the, what is the cause of this Issa and Matsuriya? Then Buddha replied that this envy and stinginess is caused by like and dislike. This is their origin. When like and dislike present, envy and avarice arise. When they are absent, they do not arise. Although beings want to have happy and peaceful life, they are suffering a lot because of Issa and Matsuriya. So if they want to be free from suffering, they have to dispel Issa Matsuriya. To dispel them, one should dispel the cause of Issa and Matsuriya. If one does not want a result, one has to destroy the cause. So if one does not want to be suffered because of Issa Matsuriya, one must destroy the cause of them, and that cause is like or dislike, likable and dislikable living and non-living beings, non-living objects. People envy a person when they dislike, but who possesses valuable objects? The object of envy is usually a person whom they hate. If this person excels in every way, then envy arises. Envy arises. But the person who excels one happens to be one's beloved person, there will arise joy, not an envy. And a person who has avarice does not wish other people also have the lovable objects that one has. One does not want others, especially whom he hates, be accomplished by all loving, lovable living and non-living objects. Matsarya is the desire, excessively possessive, to oppose any close contact between one's cherished objects and other people. It is also, this matsarya also rooted in like and dislike. When one is able to abandon like and dislike, love and hatred, then issa matsarya do not arise on him. Then the king of Deva again asked the Buddha, what gives rise to the like and dislike? What is the cause of this like and dislike? Buddha replied that like and dislike, they arise from the chanda, desire. So desire is a cause of like and dislike objects. Desire is of two types, the wholesome desire and unwholesome desire. But here Buddha referred to unwholesome desire, tanha chanda, the desire associated with craving or pleasure. So in the commentary, it explained the five types of desire. The first one is pariyesana chanda, the insatiable desire to seek sensual objects. And this desire is a driving force in seeking sensual pleasures. The second one is a patilabha chanda, the insatiable desire to acquire sensual objects. When one desire is fulfilled, there arises another desire. Initially, one thinks, it is enough, I am satisfied with what I got. But no, one wants to have more and more. So that is the second type of desire. And the third one is a paribhoga chanda, the insatiable desire to consume various sensual objects and material goods. People who likes the shows, movies, songs, etc., they never tired of enjoying it. So that is the paribhoga chanda. And the fourth desire is sannidhi chanda, the insatiable desire to store gold, silver, diamond, money, etc. And the fifth one is visajjana chanda, the desire to give money to the employees. What does this mean? It's good to give money to employees, but what here means that a person is willing to spend money by appointing more new employees unnecessarily, hoping that they would take care of everything, they would protect me, they would guard me, they would love me. So that is the visajjana chanda. And how does this craving desire, the tanha chanda, become the cause of like and dislike? Living and non-living objects, which are supportive to desire, becomes likable. But living and non-living objects, which are not supportive to the desire, chanda, become dislikable. And again, the king of Deva asks the Buddha, Then what is the cause of this desire? Buddha replied that desire is caused by vitakka or discursive thinking. So according to the commentary, vitakka is thinking and deciding. This vitakka is of two kinds. One is based on the desire, tanha, and another has its origin in wrong belief, wrong view, ditti. On seeing sense objects, one thinks and decides it as a pleasurable and desirable object, or one thinks and decides it as a living entity. And when come to contact with the sense objects, if one is unable to note and observe at the moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching, one thinks and decides, and it leads to the craving or attachment. So again, the Sakka asks, what is the cause of vitakka, this thinking and deciding? Buddha replied that vitakka arises due to the perception that tends to expand papancha sanya in Pali. There are three kinds of papancha sanya. The perception that tends to expand or diffuse, perception of tanha craving, mana conceit, and ditti wrong view. When one is unable to note and know at the moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching, one falls a prey to one of these three perceptions of expansion. At the moment of seeing, first one sees only the visual form, but then one reflects it. Tanha craving makes it pleasant and tends to magnify it. Mana gives rise to conceit, and ditti gives rise to living entity and magnify it. And later, every time when one recalls the moment of seeing, etc., leads to thinking and decision, which causes desire and craving. Again, desire causes like and dislike. Because of that like and dislike, jealousy and stinginess arise. Then people live in hate, being harmed with enmity and with various mental sufferings, although they wish to live in peace, secure, and happy. So these are the few questions and answers between the Sakka and Buddha. There are still many questions asked by the king of Deva to the Buddha. But this Issa and Matsarya, the jealousy and stinginess, are eliminated by the first part and fruition knowledge. The commentary, it mentioned that the first part and fruition knowledge eliminates the jealousy and stinginess. But Issa and Matsarya, this jealousy and stinginess, has a nature of aversion, dosa. It always arises together with dosa aversion. And dosa aversion is completely eliminated by the third path and fruition knowledge. So when commentary says that the first path and fruition knowledge eliminates Issa Matsarya, then that type of isa material which can pull us to the lower states, that type of isa material is eliminated by the first part and fruition knowledge, but only the anagami magga, the third part and fruition knowledge, completely eliminates this stinginess and jealousy. So, because we all want to live peacefully and happily, so let us try our best to eliminate this jealousy and stinginess in this very life. That's all for today.